Fam und wir sprechen mit Helen Fang über eine Band aus Peking, die sie gegründet hat. Vor Jahren war sie schon mal bei uns. Wir haben über Pat Conspiracy geredet, da hat sie auch mitgemischt. Jetzt aber sprechen wir über Nova Heart, eine Kapelle, die eigentlich als Soloprojekt von Helen erfunden wurde. Jetzt ist aber die LP doch mit einer Band entstanden. Wir sprechen jetzt mal ein bisschen darüber, wie inspirierend das Interviewen von Künstler und Künstlerinnen sein kann. Da hat sie nämlich auch viel Erfahrung gesammelt. Wir finden heraus, wie es zur Zusammenarbeit mit Staatsakt gekommen ist. Da wird die Platte nämlich erscheinen im Herbst und wir besprechen noch einiges mehr. Zunächst aber heißt es nochmal Hello and welcome, Helen.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm relatively good. I just went up 5 flights of stairs and...
Oh, come on. Don't be such a sissy.
No, but actually I'm just kind of visiting Flux FM and going out into the patio and seeing all of Berlin is kind of nice. And
yeah.
Just spending a week in Berlin is very nice.
Oh, so you've been here for a few days already, or?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, cool. About a week, a little bit more over a week, maybe almost 10 days now.
Cool. Congratulations on finishing your first LP, Helen.
I know, after many tries.
Yeah, the Nova Heart debut is going to be released here in the fall of 2015. Your very first EP, on the other hand, had been put out in 2014. How important was that EP for the results that you're presenting on the LP right now? Because I've read that you discovered your own sound kind of when producing the EP.
No, the EP was just kind of more of a studio project between me and Rodion.
Mm-hmm.
And then the LP is much more of a project between the band and the producer, and also a bit of life experience and travel and getting about, going around the world, meeting lots of people, hearing stories, and kind of finding out some stuff about ourselves. I think we're getting to that age where the youthful enthusiasm is being filled in with a lot more life experience, which you kind of try and translate that into something that you can communicate to people of all different age groups through a feeling or an emotion and or more a visual. Because like for the whole thing, we just like, okay, we're not going to get away. We're not going to talk about sound influences because that really kind of traps you in a box. Instead, we're just going to think about a visual and try and represent it with music.
I've read about great plans for visuals for the upcoming tour.
We do. We have a lot of plans. Whether they're going to get realized is really dependent on, other than budget, time, and also being based out of China, we're working with a lot of really talented people there. But unlike if we're a European band doing a European tour, it's really hard to get everybody first to Europe.
Yeah.
So that's always a bit of a consideration. And also, frankly, we're not Daishken. We can't build our stages everywhere we go.
Yeah.
So we kind of have to always work in the space and be adaptive.
Yeah.
So I think in the future, we're trying to do something a little bit more experimental other than just going to a venue and playing a show.
Yeah.
Maybe do something that's more along the lines of experimental theater.
Yeah, you wanted to create an atmosphere in the various places, right? That's what I've read. You want to suck people into your universe, kind of.
Yeah, we just want them to forget they're watching a band.
Yeah.
Because I think everybody knows the formula now. There are a couple of people standing on stage, they're singing to you. And, you know, if you like the track, maybe you sing along. And
yeah, it's a simple concept, but I think it still works.
It still works. There's nothing wrong with it. But for us, I think we just maybe have bigger ambitions that we don't know if we can actually realize.
Yeah.
So we're just going to set our sights for something really, really little bit more subversive and a little bit more weird.
Pink Floyd-ish.
Pink Floyd-ish, yes. except you know, this is not the 70s anymore. We can't really get there.
Well, you seem to be a perfectionist. I've read that you had control over every single detail of the production.
No, not really.
You directed videos. Mm-hmm. You supervised the cover illustrations. You didn't do them yourself, but you supervised them, kind of.
Well, I think that used to be the case for most stuff. That was, if you're doing something and you want it to communicate a certain message, you don't just kind of leave it to the hands of a whole bunch of other people and go, okay, now have fun. I know that's kind of encouraged these days, but there's also other things that other people are making. Supervision is not the same as being creative.
Yeah.
So maybe you communicate to the designer what you want to represent, and then they go back and they add so much more to it. So I wouldn't consider myself as being an auteur or anything, or just kind of having a sit down saying, okay, this is what the album's about.
Yeah. But I've heard that you were even more busy with this record than you were with the EP.
Yeah, with the EP, it was a record, so we got really, we were a little bit more picky about all the little different pieces. And But the worst thing is, like, you know, like, is I've worked in a situation before is if somebody kind of doesn't know what they're doing and they kind of want to just control every part of the process, like, micromanage it. So we try not to do that. We actually work with really talented people. And I guess if supervising means just kind of like going, oh, you're really talented, come and help us.
Okay, cool.
I think that was more the job that we did.
Yeah.
And also, like, for the video and stuff like that, it's a really collaborative effort. It was really cool to work with mostly women for this video. The producer was a woman. The art director is with women. The co-director was a woman. I'm actually the assistant director was a woman. And we were, like, basically the crew was a very feminine crew.
Uh-huh.
But it was super efficient. It worked super well. And we had one meeting before. We were being all very girly. We had lots of snacks around, like, our table. And we're talking about the fact that all of us had worked at the film industry in the professional level for many years. And we all had to deal with different levels of sexism. And it was really nice to work with a bunch of women because people were like, yeah, we can be kind of girly sometimes. When it comes down to work, everybody respects each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very efficient.
There's a film by a German director called It's About Cannes. And if you translate the title, it's called Men Show Their Films and Women Show Their Breasts, because it's about the sexism that's happening at festivals like Cannes, where your chances as a female director to get a prize are much lower than if you were a male director. Still happening in France and in Germany as well.
In Germany, festivals. In the US especially. I used to work in the film industry in the US, and there's definitely, like, kind of like sayings which are pretty open, like, oh, if you're pretty, you can sleep your way to the top, and if you're ugly, you have to work your way to the top, kind of a thing. And it's kind of not even implied. It's just very open sexism.
Yeah.
So when I first started working on sets and stuff like that, I really had to, like, no, I didn't smoke before I picked up smoking, because that was, like, the only way I could get guys to respect me, because I always had cigarettes on me. So I was like, okay, I've got some cigarettes, you know, stop looking at me as a girl and start looking at me as a cigarette dispenser. I'm more happy with this role. So after a while, you were smoking with the different various members of the crew, and after a while, they kind of respected you. I remember, like, making myself more masculine, like, not wearing makeup, putting my hair back, wearing, like, you know, basically, like, clothes that kind of hid my body. So I would go on set and it would just be a dude. And then everybody else was kind of trying to be a dude. And then it was nice to be on set with a bunch of women who didn't have any problems.
Yeah.
I mean, we wore comfortable clothing. We weren't exactly, you know, going there in stilettos.
Now I can totally imagine that.
Yeah.
Now, before we talk too much about the clothing of the female crew shooting the video, let's listen to a song of your upcoming record.
Oh,
here's it, Nova Heart mit Lackluster Number.
Nova Heart auf Flux FM mit einem Auszug aus der Platte, die so heißen wird wie die Band. Im Oktober 2015 kommt die Scheibe raus via Staatsakt. Da will ich natürlich wissen, wie diese Verbindung zustande kam. Helen, the LP is going to be released here in a few months via our favorite label, Staatsakt. How did you get in touch with them? How did that happen?
This all happened through Philip, who is, like, currently sitting behind me, probably just reading a magazine.
Yeah.
It's actually completely
ignoring us
right now.
Those are the guys I love, you know,
right,
sitting in the studio, looking at their fucking smartphone.
you can go ahead and beat on him after we go to commercial break.
I'll
record it and put it up on the exactly. Put something hard on.
Yeah.
It should be like some thrash metal during that moment.
An interesting thing about your career is that you've interviewed thousands of musicians.
Mm-hmm.
You've worked for MTV China. You've worked at a radio station and it's been sending nationwide, I guess. So how has that formed the idea for Nova Heart? How inspiring was talking to musicians? Did you learn something from them?
I didn't interview thousands.
Yeah. Hundreds, maybe.
Maybe. Actually, when I first started, there was in China. So it was always kind of more or less interviewing Chinese musicians. And also for MTV, we kind of geared more toward the pop. So one of the things I hated most was going to an interview where the person who is already been prepared. This is something that people don't know, but there's a thing called interview training, which actually most of the pop stars get. So they know how to answer and
without an own brain working, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So you go into these interviews and they're basically walking through this, and all of the questions have already been pre-approved by their manager and stuff like that. So those are pretty boring because really nothing you can do. You can't really shock them with any kind of interesting question because then they just go blank. It's like, oh, and then they look to their keeper in the corner and go,
and they'll say, we have to leave.
Yeah, or no, they don't even say we have to leave. They just kind of blank out and their keeper is like,
Yeah.
Like making eye motions. So I generally didn't love those interviews. And then when I interviewed indie musicians, actually it was like opening a door to another world. Mm-hmm. I was doing indie music already. So most of these people I had seen live or had played with live. So getting them there was a little bit easier. And, you know, they had like, I think as a Chinese person, there's a little bit of more, they're a little bit more closed off when they deal with media. Uh-huh. Just because of the way that the society is structured.
Yeah.
So it was always kind of a job to get them to open up first. So we'd always have a drink first. I would always try and get them drunk before they actually got into the interview booth. And then once they did, they were telling me all of these wonderful stories about stuff they had done in the last few years. Uh-huh. And gave me a lot of hope, actually.
Yeah, okay, cool. That's something.
Yeah, this hope is something that's very rare.
Yeah.
Because I think as you...
you're a musician nowadays, it's super rare. I mean, there's no hope.
There
is no hope, Helen. Be honest.
It's really, seriously, Flux FM is kind of like telling you right at the door, it's like, you know, die now.
Yeah.
Like there's as you're no leaving hope. The radio station. No, actually, there is hope. There's always hope because my belief is that the music industry is dying. But let's not kid ourselves. As an industry, it's dying. But it's dying in this form. Maybe there's something else that's going to come and it's going to be interesting. As long as there's self-expression and the space for self-expression, there will be the need for it.
Yeah.
And even if it doesn't automatically translate to cash, it doesn't mean that, you know, there is no space. Yeah, there might be more space, actually.
Yeah. And there's musicians nowadays who keep the stuff by themselves and who manage their own stuff and who sell their own music without a record company in between, and they make more money
than
they've ever made before.
Except for Starstock. Starstock is great.
Starstock are the best.
They're so good.
So cool.
No, but that's what we do generally in China.
This is not your first time in Berlin. I've read that you've actually recorded some stuff at Studio Wong here.
Yes, I say hi to Ollie, who's very frustrated by a bunch of like extremely... Yeah, we were on various things while we were there. So he was basically checking our pulse before we walked into the studio. It was interesting.
And is the material on the record that's been recorded there?
A lot of the material was made in Rodeo Studio in Rome, and then now he's moved. So if anybody needs a fantastic electronic producer, he now lives in Berlin, just moved here last year. A lot of the stuff was produced by Rodeo in his studio, and you know, I had a couple of chances to work with him. I think it was a huge learning experience for me, especially when it came to electronic music and what quality production is.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of Ableton shit out there. People who like, oh, I can press buttons on this push. I'm like, okay, congratulations. You know, like you've really learned how to become a musician now.
And it's a start though.
It's a start.
Yeah.
You know, it's more about expression. So it doesn't mean you don't have to be able to play like, you know, classical guitars.
That's true. That's a punk spirit, right?
Yeah, it's the punk spirit. But there is also like a lot of stuff with production about what you want to express and how much effort you put into things that kind of translates into something that has a little bit more glow. And I think Rodion definitely does that. He puts a lot, and we worked with Studio Wong, really great guys.
Yeah, I think so too.
And we were kind of like, we were probably not the most pro people to ever walk into that studio. So I think they kind of felt like father figures a little bit to us of like a bunch of like disoriented children.
Yeah.
So it was good to work with them because they were very patient with us.
So the record has been put out in China already, or is it going to be put out there as well?
It came out in China already.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so we released it ourselves.
Put out here in October 2015. Yep. Are you going to come back for a tour with the other guys?
We're going to try to come back. October is like the busiest season in China.
Mm-hmm.
And also we're thinking about pushing off a Chinese tour to do more stuff in Europe. It's all kind of in debate right now. But we're definitely going to do something in Berlin. We haven't figured out what it's going to be yet. But it involves some sort of kidnapping.
Okay.
And we're not sure how we're going to integrate that into the plan. But we already made like these wonderful velvet bags with for the head. So we're just going to put it.
The props are ready.
For the audience.
It's not confirmed yet, but the props are ready.
The props are ready. And cool. And we want to do something that's kind of like my imagination of like Berlin the 90s, where there wasn't so much thought about like rent and space and I don't know, market. And we just want to do something that is actually just super cool.
There's actually a movie called B-Movie that's going to be inspiring for you. It's about that time, exactly that time. And it's it's told by Mark Reeder, who spent his time here in the late 80s and early 90s. And it's a great movie to inspire that show, maybe.
Maybe.
I want to wish you the best of luck for everything that you're doing. And I hope I'll see you again when you come back in October or maybe a little later for your Berlin show. Helen Fang, by BAM Studio, thanks a lot.
Thanks
Say
a
hi
lot.
To the others. And here's another song of the upcoming record that's called Nova Heart. Wir hören das Stückchen We Are Golden. Bye-bye, Helen.
Tschüss.
Tschüss.